football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
I ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It's that time. Brandon Scott joins us. B. Scott, who was out and about. He was at practice today. Saw some returns to practice, and we'll get his thoughts on the injury stuff going on. Talked to C.J. Stroud. Talked to D'Amico Ryans. We heard you. You even got a good question from D'Amico Ryans.
Never know how to feel about those. Never know how to feel because, I don't really need validation on my question. But sometimes I wonder if they say that because it was too soft of a question. Is it really a good question? I never know how to feel.
I thought it was a good question.
I did too. So I kind of let it ride.
Sounded good too, Chief.
I appreciate that.
Easy one.
Good question. I go in there honest, man, trying to get real answers.
Thank you for setting me up with that one, but. First, the move here is they add, and I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Clint and the people. And now you may be able to kind of tie in a little bit more that you know with being around the building. But when you saw they signed Devin White, 26-year-old linebacker, formerly a Pro Bowler, multiple-time Pro Bowler, and was let go by the Eagles, but had great years. Hell, just last year was giving the Texans trouble when they played the Bucs. What was your thought process when you saw they made that move to get him in?
Well, it's kind of twofold, I would say, because on the one hand, if you just take Devin White in and of himself, like that's a reclamation project that would be worth kicking the tires on, even if everybody was fully healthy. Like if Christian Harris is out there balling out and Henry Toa is not concussed and he's out there doing his thing and Azeez Al-Shaair, like just if you want to make Devin White part of your linebacker depth, or push back one of these dudes as one of your leading tacklers, not Azeez Al-Shaair, of course, but if it was Henry Toa or whatever the case may be, like that would work just in and of itself. Then you add on top of it the health issues that they've had at that position, then it makes you think, okay, reclamation project and somebody they actually might need. Like linebacker depth has been something we've been talking about for at least a week now, ever since Henry Toa went down, him and Azeez go down at the same time, Christian Harris, that's been an issue all year. The way that they've been mum on that, the way that they don't really talk about it, doesn't really make you feel good about the situation. So on the one hand, I looked at it as, hey, here's a guy who's been good in the league before, and he's just on the street. Doesn't cost you anything to go get him. Makes sense to go get him. And it's specifically a position of need. And I think it does kind of foreshadow some, I would say, some issues with Christian. I mean, we're in the eighth game. We're in week 8 here, and Christian Harris not only is not out there, not practicing, and not a peep about when he might return. So I think that speaks for itself.
B. Scott, the crazy part is, I mean, I didn't realize him. He should be in his prime.
He should be 26 years old.
I didn't realize he was drafted in the 2019 draft. I don't know why, but like Devin White, just it seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah,
it seems like I thought he was 8-9 years in. I mean, this dude's been like this is year 5 and he ain't played this year.
Yeah,
I understand there's been some injuries, but to think the dude physically should be in his prime right now, it's not crazy to think that a D'Amico Ryans could pull a Mario Edwards with a guy like Devin White, and he could end up playing some of his best ball under D'Amico Ryans in this system. And being able to work with a guy like that on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I will point out, and Brooks, friend of the show, Brooks Cabana, who is now covering the Eagles out in Philadelphia, was actually making note of this. And he covered Devin White at LSU as well.
Crazy-ass Brooks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Brooks is out there living good. But he pointed out it's not so much of Devin White being washed or not good anymore as much as it was he lost the competition to N'Kobe Dean. Somebody that the Eagles invested, I believe, a third-round pick in.
Yep.
And we know that Howie Roseman and the Eagles organization has a fascination with those Georgia guys. They got at least 3 of them, maybe 4 of them on their defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and rightfully so. The Texans have one too, right? Rightfully so. Georgia's been what it is. But it wasn't so much of Devin White not being good enough as much as I think, at least from the Eagles standpoint, them investing in N'Kobe Dean and believing in N'Kobe Dean and that being a good player that just outplayed him in that competition. But that's not to say that if Christian Harris is injured or not the same whenever he does come back,
right,
or if a knee injury limits what we've seen so far from Azeez Al-Shaair, or you need depth around a Henry Toa-Toa, that a Devin White cannot feel that. I think he absolutely can, especially when you add that D'Amico Ryans dynamic to it, yeah, as well.
Brandon Scott, who has been around the Texans facility today, and not just today, Monday, he's been around as well. We talked about it. This feels like, Brandon, this may be the lowest point almost. It feels like the fan base feels towards this Texans group under D'Amico Ryans. After this week, I mean, even more than last year, but this feels like the potentially the lowest point for the fan base towards the team. What was the vibe you were getting here midweek Wednesday as you're around the players, you see them at practice, you see them at the podium and around the facility? What was the vibe you were feeling from them? Because I found it interesting, CJ saying, I want y'all to be as hard. I want y'all to have like kind of the same energy on the offensive line if they do well next week that you're doing right now. What's the vibe you were feeling from this player?
Yeah, I would say it's the lowest since the expectation change. Like, I almost look at last year in two parts. There's a point where they're exciting and they're up and coming. And I think, like, after that, let's call it that Bucks and Bengals stretch, those two games, those two back-to-back games, I feel like there was a shift in how they were viewed after that. And I think they lose to I think they lose to Cleveland after that, and they lose to the Jets after that. But before that, I think the low points were losing to Bryce Young's Carolina Panthers and Desmond Ridder's Atlanta Falcons. But, now there's a different feeling because the expectation has shifted. To your question as far as the feeling, like, I did get the sense of, I don't know what accountability exactly looks like for them internally, but I did get the sense that there were some not so easy to difficult conversations that were having to be had out there. Like, now who's having them? Who's leading them? What do those conversations exactly entail? I'm not 100% sure, but I did get the sense, at least from CJ, not as much from D'Amico, but at least from CJ, the way CJ Stroud answered questions, you know, having to deal with different guys, having to be a leader, having to be accountable, look each other in the mirror, look themselves in the mirror, look himself in the mirror, because there's a lot of talk about what the offensive line didn't do. Bobby Slowick's a punching bag every week, but CJ Stroud himself, to his credit, was like, hey, man, there are some areas where I can be better on top of that. So, and I think this is something that you've been talking about too, Ron, is like, you know, CJ kind of being able to skirt past a lot of the criticism that comes with the offense. So I got the sense that there was accountability without a great sense for what exactly it looks like. But I didn't get the sense that
It didn't feel different.
No, it didn't feel like the sky was falling or they felt like, you know, like they had this tremendous opportunity to get away. Like, I even thought going into the game, it was a game that they could afford to lose. It's the Green Bay Packers. It's another contender. I think the big issue was the way that it looked. And I know this is something that Clint has talked about. Like, it wasn't just losing the game. It was the way that they looked and the fashion in which they lost it. Like, we evaluate how they play just as much as what the actual result is, win or loss. And I think that's the issue. But being in the locker room, like, just, you know, about an hour ago, or just an hour ago, you got C.J. Stroud, Joe Mixon, and Stephon Diggs cutting up at the locker, you know, not seeming like, you know, like it's the end of the world or anything. Yeah. Like, everything still seems fairly light, and I think that that's a reasonable thing.
Look, they should be. They're 5-2, and I think, like, there still should be able to cut up amongst each other.